We thank you. We thank you that you are a faithful God. You are a faithful God. When we put our hope and our trust in you, you will never disappoint us. You will never fail us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Last, we spoke about something that is very, very, very important in the church. And I want to again preach from this wonderful, powerful book on fathers and loyalty. Amen. Fathers and loyalty. I told you that the best way to have a relationship and to benefit from your pastor or your shepherd is to have a father-son relationship. Is to have a father-son relationship. Is to develop to see the person as your father. Hallelujah. And fathers are authority figures. Fathers are authority figures. Now, today I want to talk about seven signs of sons and daughters. The sign that you are a son, the sign that you are a daughter. Hallelujah. Because often people say, oh, my father. But what makes you a child? And what makes one your father? Because you notice that once Bishop said that he was in the church and his children were playing in the church. I mean, physically, biological children were playing in the church. And someone went to him and said that, I'm your daughter. So he pointed to the children playing and said, look at them. Do they look like you? Do you get it? Or do you look like them? In other words, biologically, physically, they didn't have the same appearance and everything. So if you are a son, you should be a son indeed. Hallelujah. When you look at my daughter, you see that there's always a semblance. Hallelujah. So what are the signs of a son, and signs of a daughter, signs of a child? Number one, a son or a daughter resembles his father. Now somebody say, me and my brother, we are resemblance. Me and my brother, we are resemblance. So we look alike. A son, daughter resembles his father. Hallelujah. Now, John 14:9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? I mean, you are looking at me, say, show us the Father. And the scripture makes us say, Jesus was trying to let Philip know that, why would you be asking of the Father if you are looking at me? In other words, I look so much like the Father. I look so much like, and whatever the Father would do if he were here, the same thing is what I would do. Do you get it? So why do you ask me, show us the Father? Do you get it? So you should always say that there are similarities. You see, so he said the similarities between sons and fathers are the telltale signs of the link between the fathers and the sons. Do you get it? I told you when I was young, I went for boys' brigade practice and I couldn't go home after because I thought somebody who lived in our area came, but the person didn't come. And I didn't know my way home. So I followed a friend to his house. I was just about to ask the friend's father, or the friend was about to tell the father that my friend who is working with me cannot find his way home. So we came there, and as soon as he didn't even finish talking, the father just said, this is Mr. Sam's son. And then he continued by saying, now swear that, Papa. You know, look at his ears, like the father's ears. Do you get it? So he identified me with my father by the ears. There were striking signs and similarities. Amen. There were similarities that you wouldn't miss. Hallelujah. So just as it is biologically, spiritually too, if you're a spiritual son, a spiritual daughter, there must be some similarities Do you get it? There must be some similarity so that everybody who sees you will know that you look like your father. Do you get it? Now, when people see you, for instance, our father is God. Our ultimate father is God. When people see you, do you remind them of God? Do you remind them of God when they see you? Do you remind them of God? Who has seen God before? Who has seen God before? So how can you say that I look like God or I don't look like God? Do you get it? I was talking to somebody and I said that, look, just be like Jesus. Just be like Jesus. Now, if I say just be like Jesus, that doesn't mean that look like Jesus. But do things that when people see, they will say, oh, you are like Jesus. Do you get it? So, a son is not a clone or photocopy of the father. That is not what it is. But he has very important and essential traits that he has received from his father. It's a very important and essential traits that he or she has received from the father. And every son has his father's genes, blood type, and DNA. I had a friend, a lady came to him and said that, my daughter is your child. And my friend at that time was about 45 years. And this girl we were talking about was about 19 years. So, but the case is, my daughter is your child. And my friend told me that, I have a daughter. I have a child. I said, what do you mean you have a child? So, this girl says, that lady is my child. So, he even made a girl to come and stay with him and everything. I said, my friend, in the first place, when I look at her, I don't see anything about you in her. Me, I don't see. But you, your mind has accepted it. So, you know, so how the mind works. And the second place, if even it is so, it's been about 19 years. It's been 19 years. Somebody has fathered this child for almost some time. And now you are the one going to take over the relay. So let's be sure. So I told him, go and do DNA. DNA. When he went and did it, he said, oh, there's nothing in the DNA to show that the child is his child. You see, do you get it? So, let's say if you're a spiritual son, something in your spiritual father's DNA should be found in your DNA. That it will be difficult. It will be difficult. Some many years ago, or some time ago, somebody was going to a London church. And then when he was going, at a point, he started doubling up. He started doubling up. And then he said, oh, Bishop Dak has come to church, so he has to hurry because Bishop is preaching. But when he went, he realized that it was Bishop Richard who was preaching. Do you get it? So it means that even the way the person was preaching, there was something in the DNA that resembled the father. Hallelujah. So there are some sons who take after their fathers so closely that they look very much like their fathers. Even biologically. Do you get it? On the other hand, there are sons who have very few similarities to their fathers, even though they are real sons. What is trying to say that you can be a real son, a real son, and yet you don't have certain similarities of your father. I know a certain brother, he is asked over 100 times whether the boy in their house is his child. And then he will convince, oh, then he will mention his grandfather's name, this. They say he looks like my grandfather. They say he looks like this. And you can say that he's not so sure because there are not too many similarities. But you can see that that's the person's that anyway. I could see. But you could say he's also confused. Because there must be... He's slightly confused. Amen. So, a son looks like a father. In our workplaces, do we look like God? Do we look like God? And then when we come to the church, to God has given us spiritual fathers. Do we look like our spiritual fathers? And our spiritual father, for instance, if you're in Lighthouse and you're a pastor, you are a shepherd. If somebody sees you, can he say that you look like, you talk like, You behave like your father. Is that what they say? Even if they come to your church, would they see some similarities? That this is indeed a church of the son of this man. Would they see? So a child, a son, and all of us know that it's a blessing to be a son. And it's a blessing to be to have a father. It's a blessing to be a son. It's a blessing to have a father. So it's very important. Number two, a son or a daughter is forever. A son or a daughter is forever. John 8:35 say that, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. Look, even if the son gets angry with the father, if the son, whatever, like the prodigal son, even look at the story of the prodigal son. He took his things and went away. But you see, as long as he was a son of the house, real son of, he wasn't confused as to who his father was and where his house was. So as he went, he could not. But remember that even in times of trouble, wherever, he remembered his father's house. That was it. A son is forever. A son can never leave. A daughter can never leave. They abide in the house forever. And real sons and daughters will always belong to the house. Yes. Because in the house, you will see that there are so many things that will happen that if you are not a son or a daughter, you can easily leave. Yeah. I've had house helps. Not, they are not with me. New house elves are there. Why? Because, one, maybe whatever they achieve, they get whatever problem they have, whatever thing, and they go because somehow they know that they have somewhere to go. That is not their house. But the same problem, the same tone, whatever it is that your own child will have, the child cannot just say, I'm going. Like I said, even if they go, they will come. Like the prodigal son. You see, so he will only go out of you if it's not of you. But if the person develops a real father to son relationship, and that's the relationship you need to have. Because you see, offenses are always bound to come. Or for offenses, as for problems, as for difficulties, they are bound to come. That's why you have to fix your heart that I'm a son. I'm a son. And I have nowhere to go. This is my father. This is my mother. This is the house I was born in. I have nowhere to go. So whatever it is, you rather, even you can be angry, you can bang your fist on the chest. Bah, 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 bah. But when you finish, you step and say, but hey, where am I going to? Where am I going to? That's where I belong to. I don't have anywhere to go to. There's nowhere to go to. But if you have another son or another father or whatever, you, that's why some of you have, you are in church, but you have several fathers. Let me come there. You are in church. You have father of oil. That means you go for oil from the person. You have father of water. You have father of all night. This way I go for all night. This way I go for this. And then you have a father of the church that on Sunday you come and sit and pay your tithe. Hey! So you don't know who. So that's why the slightest thing, you think that you can go anywhere. Look, even the fathers, they know their children who can go nowhere. Real fathers know their children who can go nowhere. And those people, when they come, when they fall in line, they face them without any fear or favor. Yes. They know. I know children who people cannot go anywhere. And I know people too. If I spark them today, tomorrow they'll be in their Roman. They'll be in their Roman. Amen. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Do you get it? So you see that sometimes when people go out, it's an indication that they are not of you. Those who leave you. You see, they are not of you. They have not developed, if you like, a certain relationship. So they can easily move away. Do you get it? But if they are of you, you have nowhere to go to. You know that this is the one who born me. You will go and go and go. But you say that I'll go to my father's house. Because you know that you have a father. Amen. Sons and daughters believe in their fathers and trust them for everything. They believe in their fathers and trust them for everything. This is where many of us will have problems. Because many of us, our faith is affected by this particular thing. That is why we cannot use faith to believe God for a lot of things. Yes. Because see, faith is absolute trust and confidence in some other person who will do something. Do you get it? And you need to have a certain attitude. And that is only, that's why Jesus said, unless you become like these little children. You need to have an attitude of a child. And a child is the one who trusts the father. I have two set of children. Can I say that? The first batch and the one batch. The first batch and one batch. Now, the things that I sell the one batch now, the younger one now that he believes, I cannot tell these old ones for them to believe. Do you see? I cannot tell them for... But they used to believe some time ago. Do you see? But now, I cannot tell them certain things for them to believe. Because they have grown naturally. They have come to know certain things and all those. So they will not easily... But that one still believes. That one still believes. So, it means that I have not changed though. All the things I told them, whether true or not, that they believed. I still say it. Do you get it? But someone still believes. Someone still believes. But they don't believe. Not that, I mean, it's not a negative thing. I'm just in a normal life. They don't believe. You have to be a child to trust God. Do you get it? To trust God. In the same way, if you are in church, you see, church is made up of grown-ups and little children. With people with gray hair. Do you get it? So I'm talking to old people. Old people. Even as I'm talking, they are listening. What is he talking about? The children. What is he? You see, they are just trying to see where exactly am I going to land. And yet, these old people, God is saying that you have to be little children. He says you have to be little children. You have to be little. Because in the things of God, if you're not a child, you will not. And so when you're older, the devil tells you, oh, you're a man of your own mind. You're a man of your own mind. Oh, use your mind. Who told you that you can't use your mind? Use your mind. Do this, you are this, you are that, you are that. Because you cannot be a child. Amen. You cannot be a child. But you have to be a child and trust. They trust their father. They trust. There are some of you where I can come to and say that marry this person, you will marry. Recently I called somebody. I said, look, you've been in this church for all the while, you don't have beloved. The person was just taking offering. Sunday, see me after service. Then when I went to the office, I didn't even have in mind who, but then when I went, I saw the Spirit directed me. So I discussed with your mom. I said, okay. Then I called a person. Then I told the person, A, B, C, D. Hey, by the time I could say Jack, they were changing numbers. It's like absolute. And look, I'm not talking about people who have not been to school. You maybe are thinking that, oh, they were children. If I tell you, I don't want to give. If I tell you the education, you fall from your seat. You know you need some few more years to catch up. Because trust. Because how do you think that? I mean, why would your father tell you to marry somebody who is not good? You ask yourself. Of course, that doesn't mean you should not marry, but I'm just saying it's trust. Do you get it? That means you should just marry. I'm just saying it's trust. You see, trust doesn't ask a lot of questions, so trust. Amen. And real children, they trust their father. They trust their father. So sometimes people say, oh, you are my father. You are my this. But you realize that thing is not just in the talking. Some people even don't call you father. Do you get it? Somebody don't call you father or daddy. For example, I don't remember, of course, maybe Christian, but I don't call Bishop father. I call him Bishop. Do you get it? But that does not make me, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked that I am more than more than a son. You'll be shocked. Do you get it? So some people may not call you, I've never recalled Lily Pasifu calling me daddy. I don't remember. It even look hot, funny. Well, I return say daddy. Do you get it? But I have no doubt in my heart that these are real children. So what I'm also saying, that if you call daddy, doesn't mean that it's wrong. I'm just saying, do you get it? I'm just saying that some also say daddy. Do you get it? Which is also good. You see a grown up telling somebody my daddy. Is he? And so when you see a grown up lady calling somebody my daddy, then all sort of thoughts come through your mind. Because when you are in the world, you have sugar daddies. So all your mind is sugar. You don't know that the person's, from the bottom of the person's heart, that is my daddy. Do you get it? So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, when he was facing, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look, he's talking to his father. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not like if you give us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others, and lead us on the temptation, but deliver us from evil. As far as he's talking to his father, so full of trust and confidence that as long as he remains his father, he will deliver him and he will give him his daily bread. Hallelujah. That's why sons don't go on strike. Sons, rebellious children, even when they rebel, like the prodigal son, they come back. If they don't come, of course, you may have one or two like that. Amen. So, that is powerful. Because fathers are always a blessing to their children. Amen. Good. Number four. A son honors his father. A son honors his father. Malachi 1:6. As a son honored his father and a servant his master. A son honored his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? Amen. So you don't expect honor from employees. You expect honor from sons. Hallelujah. As for employees and things, they want to be promoted. They want posts. So they will give you fake smiles. But a son doesn't need promotion from you. A son needs acceptance. Do you get it? So there's nothing fake about what a son will do. Hallelujah. And that's why in the ministry, it's always a blessing to have people who are your sons. Recently, I visited a very big man of God somewhere, and he was telling me about his church and how some people have behaved and all those things. And then he was asking me what to do. And I said that all these ones, let them go. And the ones who are your sons, and who say that they are your children, let them remain. When these ones go, you see that whatever you lose, your sons will come and even reclaim it and do more. So let them go. That's why people want to work with sons and daughters. People who have come to believe and trust. Not people who are just giving lip service. And it says they call from full respect. Lip service and no. That one, you see, you can't do it for some time or it will go. But when people are really, they really trust you and they take you as their father. And every look, you have no idea. Some of you think that some people are favorites. No. Every person wants to work with somebody or work with somebody who has accepted him or her, if you like, in a certain way. In a certain way. Do you get it? And the test of that thing is when they say, like Archbishop says, I mean, it's an open this thing that something happened. Then someone asked him that if Archbishop Idahosa was here and he told you what, and this was, you wouldn't ask, what would you have done? He said, he would just say, wait. And then I say, what would you say? I'll wait. Everybody should have somebody in your life who can tell you, wait. Accept. Move. Everybody should have somebody like that. Do you get who's like a father? Who's not like? Who is a father to you? Hallelujah. So apart from a few sons, most sons and daughters bring honor and joy to their fathers. Amen. So a son honors the father. And so now the honor, yes, the honor is substance, everybody. The honor sometimes even goes far beyond that. Do you get it? Which is very, very important. Amen. I hear you go home. You see, and number what? 5. Sons obey their fathers. Sons obey their fathers. You see, a lot of rebellious people call themselves sons and daughters. Recently, somebody who has left a church for so many years, I've even forgotten how many years, that he came to me and asked me that he wants to go and start a church, so I should pray for him. I said, what authority do I have over you to pray for you? I don't have any authority over you. What relationship? Is it because I should have a certain... See, prayer is not just prayer. There should be a reason why I have to impart something to you. There should be a reason. So what? I don't have a reason. Oh, but I said, no. You, it's not something... You want to stand somewhere and say, I'm your father. You cannot stand somewhere. Do you think I can just go and stand somewhere and call your father my father? There is something that makes my father. So I can't also go and stand somewhere and call somebody because I want a father. If you want a father, that's not how to get a father. That's not how to get it. So I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You go. When you get to a certain point, come back. I'll pray for you. That's what I said to the person. It's as simple as that. I cannot just, you cannot just say, I'm your son. It's by force. Wow. Ephesians 6 verse 1 and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. This is right. Some people have said that obey your parents in the Lord means that he's talking about your spiritual fathers. Some too have said that he's talking about the fact that obey them as long as what they are telling you is in the Lord. You get it? Both are correct. Amen. Because none of them will harm you. Both are correct. So say, obey them. Honor thy fathers. Which is the first question. But he said that obey. 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 But you see, sons don't obey. Sons don't obey. And that's why also, for instance, you don't exert authority over somebody's son or somebody's daughter. You cannot exert authority over somebody you don't have authority over. That is why they say, I can stand here even and say certain things. Bishop Mousy can stand here and say certain things. But if Pastor Senior comes to say the same thing, you can be angry with him. He's your pastor. But you have not developed a certain father thing with him. You haven't. There's a certain father thing with him that he can come and stand here and shout and scream. So, when choristers are singing, bishop can scream at them. So you two come, no, hey, hey! One day somebody will put on the microphone and walk away, you will see. You will see that at that point, it has become a certain relationship. And you can ask my instrumental the way I relate with them. And they are all grown-ups, too. They are all grown-ups. They are all grown-ups on their own. Very soon you see, all these things they are doing it themselves. On their own, all these things are new. They have brought new instruments. They said, you will even not make me see it. So me, myself, I have not seen it. And yet, they know that even what they have bought, if they are playing it, and I can say, push it down and move! Put it down, let me see you hold that thing again. Get out! And then, I can say it. And then, they will go and sit down. And so that they will come to the office. Cool. Because they don't see it as a stranger. They see the look, this is my father. And sometimes it can be hurting. But they will come to the office, will talk, and that's all. Now they will flow. If you like, come and do the same thing. Come in, you will see. The person can take the thread. Nobody will do that anyway. But what I'm saying is that it's a relationship. Do you get it? It's a relationship. So you should obey your father. Amen. Number six. Sons and daughters do what they see their fathers do. John 5:19b. The son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the son likewise. Some time ago, when Bishop came to dedicate this place, then he said, oh, I have a certain secret. And then so somebody came to say, what's your secret? What makes you do what you do? What made Bishop to call you a son? And all those things. And I noticed that the only thing I could tell the person was that I just do what I see him do. Do you get it? So even if you ask me my anointing, what's your anointing? What's your calling? My calling is to have a father. It's as simple as that. My anointing, my calling is to have a father. And then the fruit of it is what you are seeing. It's as simple as that. The fruit of it is what you are seeing. So whether I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm an evangelist, I'm an apostle, I do not know. But I know, but I do not know. So, it's not your business. Am I not something? I am resemblance my father. So what I see, what I see. Sometimes I even ask myself, do I still do the same thing? Because sometimes I see, like every human being, so that you go to a certain point and if you don't take care, your heart even leaves your father in a certain way. So then I ask myself, do I still do the things that I used to do? Am I still doing it? Have I not become proud? Am I not begin to think that I'm old? Am I not begin to say I don't need this again, I can do it this way? Because hey, whatever he does. And that's what Jesus did. He said, what I see my father do. If Jesus did that, why do you think that you are special? For whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the son. That's all. So a true son is looking out for what his father does. That's all. So even sometimes you see that if it comes to, let's say, music, it comes to worship and those things, I will tell the worship leaders, don't think about what the people are clapping about. If people are clapping, they may be clapping, but I will not be happy with you. They will be clapping by now. Because see, at a point you begin to think about what the people are thinking, what the people want. And that's why so many people veer from God. But at a point, we don't think of what God wants. What is my father looking for? What is my father doing now? We stop. Amen. That's why as a church, we don't have to stop sending people out to start churches. We don't have to stop. Because that's what our father is doing. Do you get it? So whatever we see our father doing, what you see your father doing, that's what you do. And you see that even Jesus, the law of divine selection, the law of divine selection is that if you are very sensitive and you are praying for people, you will see that you pray for only a few people. You pray for only a few people. And you usually will pray for people that God is healing them or God is touching them. Yeah. And sometimes we may be wrong, but there are a few signs you use. They may be wrong. They may be wrong, but if I am here, I'm ministering. I said, take it one, take it two. And I see that somebody is crying. You get it? Do you not think it's easier for me to call a person and pray for the person? Because already God is ministering to them. I've not done it to a person. The person is crying. You think it's easy to cry? It's not easy to cry. And so you see a grown up. He's crying and his nose is coming. And you are here. You won't call him and pray for him. And you see somebody standing there stiff. Hey, you come. Cry. You are just worrying yourself. Where God is not moving, you want to move there. Where? You look at the person, the way the person is crying, the way the person say, hey, Ashes, bring that one here quickly. It is more likely that God is touching that person. So what I see my father do, bring the person here. Let me lay my hands on the person. And the person say, I was healed. And you are surprised. Because the person said, I didn't even know that there was anything wrong with the person. But you see, God knew it. God knew it. Sometimes when you come and you raise a song, sometimes you even know who God will touch at the end of the service by the song you raise before you preach. You see how people flow. So one day I was praying for people, and somebody came to tell me that when I was praying, she saw, I don't know whether he or she, but it's likely that it's a she. The he's don't see a lot. The he's are always... I don't know what they are thinking about. I'm sure it's supposed to be a she. Say she saw two hands. Saw two hands. So she thought that someone was praying with me. But later she realized that no, I was alone. And said that a hand was going. And to her surprise, you know, sometimes you'll be praying, but rather you jump on two people. You go and say, she will say that sometimes that the hand will move from here and go to the back. And I wasn't seeing any handle. But he said I was just moving like that. So it was like now my spirit was just flowing with God. Hallelujah. My spirit was just flowing with God. Do you get it? So when you see God, God is moving. God is moving. Moving, moving. You also move. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda, there were so many people who were impotent, who were lame, who were all those things, they were sick folks. But only one person that he saw God was moving. Look, if God is moving, there's nothing for you to impress. Do you get it? If God is moving. If God is moving in our church, look at this church, and God is moving by our Father. And then my Father has preached messages that have made the people grow. Have written books that has made churches grow. And then I will say that, oh, I want to do something else. So I want to go and preach something else. You see, you are not moving. It is not like what you see your father do. What you hear your father say. No, it's not like that. That is why before Wednesday, every message Bishop I preach on Sunday, I try to listen to it. Because to me, I want to hear what my father is even saying. I want to hear what he's saying. Not that I'll come and preach it even or what, but just to hear what my father is saying. So before that, I have to listen. Because I should be sitting there. I should be sitting there in the church listening to him. But he has sent me out to also preach. So what it means that I have to do whatever I can to hear him talk to me every day. Every day I have to do it. But I should be sitting there. I should be sitting there every day for him to talk to me. Because he is my father. Do you get it? So whatever he sees his father do, that is what the son will do. That is what the son will do. So just do. Don't think about what the people will say. Don't think about what the people will say. Just say, look, this is what my father wants. Let him just do it. And you see that often it's a blessing. Hallelujah. And those who have followed, even as a pastor, I'm also a son. But as a son in the house, who has authority over some of the sons of the house, I've seen that those who listen and do what Bishop has asked us to do, they prosper and they do well. Their churches grow. Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it. And it's always like that. But those who don't listen, who always have, well, the so-called the mind of their own. The so-called the mind of their own. Jesus didn't have the mind of his own. Well, the so-called the mind of their own. They are the ones who don't do well. Do you get it? So, it's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing even to have a father to look up to. If your father has written books, that's what I see my father doing. And so, you also take some and feed. Feed. You'll be blessed. Are you going to go home? Wow. I say how many things? Last. Sons or daughters carry the words of their fathers. Sons and daughters carry the words of their fathers. A sign of a true son is that he carries the words of his father. He hears the words of his father often and he repeats them whenever and wherever he can. He just repeats them. He hears the words of his father, he just repeats them. And Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Hallelujah. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Hallelujah. That's why people ask him, "How do you do all these things? From where come get you this wisdom?" The Father is wise. So then what happens is that as you see your father do and do, they say, you are becoming wiser. You are becoming wiser. You are becoming wiser. For instance, we know that our father is a builder. Haven't you started building your house? And is it not making you wiser? Some of you young people have even started looking for lands to buy. All because you see that that is what your father is doing. That's what your father is doing. So instead of going to Starbucks to spread every day, you are buying land somewhere. Amen. So please, it's a blessing to have a father. And it's a blessing to be a son. And I want you to be true sons and daughters of the house. If you are a son, you are forever. And the prodigal son's story is the best example. That even he who left with all those things, when he went and went and went and went and remembered. You see, if you are not a son, some people when they remember, they don't have anywhere to go. But this one, when he remembered, he realized that he is still, my father is there. He still went back. Amen. So let's read our last verse for today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, the New American Standard Version. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. I'm reading for the New American Standard Version. See, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live." Hallelujah. He said, when I was a son to my father. When I was a son to my father. Do you know these same words that the boy was told? A time could have come in the life that he will not listen to the words of the father again. Because you can be a son today, tomorrow you will not be a son. Yes. But he said, when I was my father, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Hallelujah. So, these are the signs of true sons and daughters. And there's always a blessing that comes to children of the house. There's always a blessing. Hallelujah. There's always a blessing. And sometimes you see that even the more elderly ones are the ones who even take you, if you're a younger pastor, they're even the ones who are even able to take you as their father. It's even amazing. It's even amazing. And then the younger ones rather who are on heat. Who are on heat. They are the ones who find it so difficult to accept and to flow. Hallelujah. So may we be sons and daughters of the house. There are blessings in the house. There are blessings in the house. But blessings are for the children of the house. And there are some blessings that if God decides to bless you, no one has control over it. Because if the blessing is in the house, and you are in the house, who can control you? It's for you. It's for you. It's as simple as that. It's for you. So some of you, even without doing anything, you are already blessed. Just because in your heart, you are a son of the house. You are a daughter of the house. And may that blessing be permanent. May every permanent blessing upon Lighthouse Chapel International, upon the servant of the house, Bishop Daki Wadmusu's father, may every blessing upon his life and wisdom on his life also flow to you as the son and daughter of the house in the name of Jesus. The wisdom and the anointing to build and to own properties, may it come to you. To overcome problems, to solve problems, in the name of Jesus, may it flow to you. And may anything that is fighting you, may the backing of your father stand with you and fight against that thing for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father, that our heart are set on you as our Father, which art in heaven. We hallow your name. We hallow your name. We say, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We trust you to deliver us from evil. We trust you to deliver us from evil. And Lord, we trust you for the Father you have given to us. You have given us a Father. And we trust you for this Father. Let your anointing increase upon his life. That as we follow and trust him, your anointing will flow also to us. And people shall see us, and they will know that we are different from others. And they will identify us with our Father in the name of Jesus. Amen.